This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden joining us from Portland. Senator, good morning.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, I've got to ask, in the midst of just unprecedented situations for Congress to deal with and for Americans to kind of respond to being impacted in a lot of ways, what's it like to be in the Senate right now with all of this going on?
Well, it's enormously challenging, but you realize your focus has got to be Oregon and all of the challenges people are facing. I wrote the unemployment law, for example, vastly expanding, benefits. But the fact is the state administers the program, and we've all been seeing the heartache and hassle that folks are having just trying to get their earned unemployment, and that's money they need to pay rent and groceries. I do want to tell your listeners, I was able to make sure that those unemployment benefits are retroactive. So I know that what people are going through with the state employment office is incredibly painful and just completely unacceptable, but we're going to keep the heat on the Federal Department of Labor and do more to help the states get those checks out.
And I know as we got the release from the State Unemployment Department, or rather State Employment Department yesterday, talking about additional staff being added, some new procedures in place. Obviously, they have made some major changes there, but still admit to playing catch-up. At the same time, getting the new data out yesterday for Douglas County, near record unemployment for the month of April, very close to 2009.
Yeah, it's clear that Oregon, it's like particularly rural Oregon, has just been hit with a wrecking ball. We see it in the forestry area. We can talk about the legislation I've proposed there. We see it in so many areas where there are good paying jobs. And that's why I've really felt that the economic challenge is two sides of one coin. The first, of course, is to protect the workers, replace their wages. And this money for unemployment is not just wage replacement, it's also demand replacement. It helps to generate demand for goods and services, because that gets to the other side. I introduced the employee tax retention tax credit, so that employers have a refundable tax credit for bringing back workers. And you bet the economic hurt is enormous. I basically sat behind my desk in the Dirksen office building in D.C. for something like 7 weeks in a row, day after day after day. Now I'm sitting at my dining room table in southeast Portland. But, this is all about trying to get help for Oregonians right now.
So many things going on that we could cover. I wanted to ask you, because it's been kind of a back and forth between the administration and some of the states, a number of states canceling, postponing, whatever, their primaries in the midst of COVID-19. Oregon is obviously a vote by mail for many years. President Trump is not happy with the idea of expanded vote by mail. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, administration and the president himself are living a double standard. They're happy to vote by mail themselves, and the president does that from Palm Beach. We heard about the communications person just yesterday voting by mail, regularly. The fact is that Oregon showed just in the last couple of weeks how to vote safely during a pandemic. That's what we showed, and we saw the spectacle a couple of months ago in Wisconsin. It was just the opposite. You had older voters who were susceptible to the virus waiting in these long lines, walking up to see poll workers. The majority of poll workers in this country are over the age of 60, so they're at risk. I introduced the first vote by mail, the first national vote by mail, back in 2002. Back then, it was kind of an academic debate. A lot of professors on campus would talk about it. It's not academic any longer. Now it's a huge public safety issue. We're going to stay with it until the Oregon way becomes the national way for voting.
It seems to some, at least when you listen to some of the arguments going back and forth, that this looks like a partisan issue, but I know some of the folks you've been working with would disagree.
Well, first of all, I was the nation's first senator to be elected completely by mail. I'm a Democrat. Oregon's next senator to be elected completely by mail, second in the country, was Gordon Smith, a Republican who I worked with very well in the United States Senate. So you bet, after the professors were done debating, they said, maybe vote by mail. We can't pin it down. Might help a little bit the Republicans in rural areas where they might be inclined to be conservative. And then they said maybe in the metropolitan areas it might help others because you had younger people and perhaps they were more moderate. But the political scientists have never been able to show bias with respect to vote by mail. And of course, we as Oregonians, Republicans were for it originally, almost all Democrats except Phil Kiesling and I were against it. And then after I won the election, everything changed and Oregonians put it on the ballot and said, this is ridiculous. This is a good idea. It's common sense. It's safe, it's efficient, it's more affordable, and we have been very tough on fraud. Our late Secretary of State, Dennis Richardson, a conservative Republican, before he passed, he wrote Donald Trump and said, we haven't seen fraud in Oregon.
Interesting. I wanted to cover a couple of other things here during our time this morning. We're in a streak right now. It was nearly 90 here yesterday. It's going to be 90 for the next couple of days. A lot of concerns about wildfire. You introduced some legislation to make some investments in wildfire prevention and rural jobs as well.
Yeah, there are two pieces to that puzzle as well. I organized a letter with 10 other Western United States senators so that we could really get clear what the Forest Service strategy is going to be for fighting fire this year when we have a pandemic coming up against a really tough fire season. They obviously want to do as much of the fight against the fires from the air. I think that certainly makes sense. But there are a lot of unanswered questions with respect to what's going to happen on the ground. And we sent the letter quite some time ago. We're going to be pushing to get an answer from the Forest Service to that letter. 11 United States senators from the West, all concerned about what the safety protocols are going to be, what's going to be the consultation with the healthcare agencies. And, you know, you just have a lot of, you know, basic kinds of safety questions. We know fire camps are a big part of, you know, the history of the West. How are you going to handle that in terms of social distancing and the like?
And folks from the Douglas Forest Protective Association tell me that parts of Douglas County are already in extreme drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. And the forecast for this summer is hotter than normal conditions, so you've got that in the mix as well.
Yeah, there's no question that weather is going to be a special challenge right now. And I think we don't want to repeat some of these horrendous fires that we've seen in the past. We saw some horrible ones, you know, last summer. And in particular, what my legislation does, the 21st Century Conservation Act, it kind of complements what we're trying to get at with the letter from the Forest Service, is we've got 2.5 million acres of hazardous fuels built up. We ought to be able to go in there, clean it out, and help the community be healthier and safer. We've got nonprofit agencies with young people. There's 7 million young people under the age of 29 in the United States who are unemployed now, and they're looking for work. And these are the kinds of jobs that can help young people help the community.
In the midst of this COVID-19 situation, I know you've asked the U.S. Department of Agriculture to support creating a strategic food reserve in Oregon to sort of become a model.
What I'd like to do, because we have a wonderful food bank, you know, we have a wonderful food bank system. They do a phenomenal job in Oregon. They have a great team. What I think we need to do is set something up so that when we're not in an emergency like we're in now, we have this kind of food reserve, and we're getting a really good reaction from ag groups and others. But the fact is that right now we're in the middle of a pandemic. Maybe it would be the Cascadia subduction zone. Maybe it'd be tsunamis. We need a food reserve that's in place, and you do it when you're not trying to deal with emergencies. And just this week, I saw how serious the crunch is right now. I was off with the Portland schools giving out help to families that desperately needed food, and I was putting baskets in cars, and the line just went around the block. It was tremendous need, and I just saw it yesterday.
And I know some of the food banks are seeing up to a 70% rise in demand for food.
There's no doubt about it. I saw it yesterday. I mean, you had multiple families, and you know what I think we understand, too, is hunger does not take a summer vacation. And in particular, there's no break for anybody during the middle of a pandemic. There's an amazing number of hungry people. And as I put those boxes, you know, in the cars, I saw a lot of them were older people. They were older people. And it was clear that there were a lot of hungry folks in the metro area. And I see this all over the state.
Yeah, we have a lot of financial programs here. Talk about financial management, how to take care of your personal finances. In the midst of this pandemic, we've seen numerous stimulus packages. One question is, how do we pay for all this? And are we causing ourselves more long-term grief to make things a little more comfortable in the short term?
Well, first of all, I think you've got to find a path to the other side. And, you know, without this help on matters like unemployment benefits, I don't see how people could pay the rent and pay for groceries and pay for medical. Of course, it's going to have to be paid back. This is money backed up by the federal government, the full faith and credit of the United States. But if we're looking at what seems to be, in terms of real terms, unemployment that is over 20%. If you look at it in terms of real terms, we can't just say we're just going to go to the sidelines and let people literally go without food and sitting in their places and going, what am I going to do? Am I going to turn the light on or am I going to eat?
You've been spending this week in the Portland area. Now, when do you head back to Washington, D.C.?
I'm going to be heading back at the end of the week, and obviously this is a challenge for people to, under normal circumstances. I've had 970 town hall meetings. We just throw open the doors. I really get a great education when Oregonians come out, and just everybody gets to look at each other, and you get a sense of just what's really important to people. Back in D.C., I had the state's first ever virtual town hall meeting. You know, we opened it up. Thousands of people participated. I'll be home soon for town hall meetings the way we've always enjoyed. And until then, I'm just trying to do Zoom calls all over the state and all of the things that give us a chance to listen to people. And I've really enjoyed my town halls in Roseburg and Douglas County over the years. And I'll be back soon, just as soon as I can.
Wrapping up our time today, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, thanks for being on the Morning Conversation.
Let's do it again, Kyle. Take care.
8:43 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.